Welcome to the Design Your Life on Purpose podcast with me, Sherry Honeycutt, Life Coach, where I have one mission with this podcast, and that is to help you get out of your velvet rut, to stop living by default and waiting to have the life you crave. This is a podcast where I help you take inspired action, step into the responsibility for your own happiness, and start every day figuring out what you can do to create the life you want, because it won't accidentally happen, my friends. So lean into today's content, make the intention to take away a nugget or two, and more importantly, decide that you're going to implement whatever you take away from here today, because it's on you, baby. It's on you to create that life that you want, and I know you can do it. So let's go. Hey there, have I got a treat for you? I'm super excited that the next few episodes of the Design Your Life on Purpose podcast are a series of conversations that I had with amazing people several years back. In fact, most of them were recorded in the throes of the pandemic. But don't worry, they are full of gems of wisdom that really are evergreen, and I can't wait for you to hear them. So join me on a trip down memory lane over the next few episodes of my podcast, where you will benefit from these never-before-heard, too-good-to-miss recordings that I've had stashed away. And trust me, they're packed with juicy insights that I hope you will enjoy as much as we enjoyed recording them. And remember, it's never too late to start designing your life on purpose. Oh boy, I'm so excited. I find that I say this, Lisa, every time I'm on a podcast, because I'm looking in the face of someone I love and care about. And today is absolutely no different. I am so excited to have a conversation with my friend, Lisa Dury. Lisa is someone I met in a community that attracts some really awesome people, and it has put me in the pathway of this phenomenal woman. And you know, when you're on, and now Lisa and I've only met on Zoom, right? We've only been together on Zoom.
We've only met on Zoom.
But yeah. I don't know about you, and I'll let you speak in a minute. I'm giving you a long introduction here. But you know how you see this little square by this point, and you go, oh, that person in that square, I like. You know what I mean? That's my introduction totally. Of you. I saw this woman in a square, and I thought, I like her. So how are you today, Lisa?
Oh, my gosh, Sherry. I saw you in a square, and I liked you, too. You know, like... How am I? I'm excited to be here. You know, the world around me is beautiful and overwhelming at times. You know, I have a birthday coming up, so I'm in a reflective moment, right? Life is happening. And I'm thrilled to be here. How's that for a real
I'm so
answer?
Glad. I'm so glad. You know, Lisa, I just have to say this too. I made a vision board. I make vision boards. You know what those are, right? Where you put pictures up of things you want.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that you're on my vision board? And I see you every morning when I get my hair done, when I dry in my hair. I took a picture. It's hilarious. This is just dawning on me. I took a picture of when we were on the leadership team, and it's a Zoom screen, and you're holding up a little sign, and there's several faces on there. And that symbolizes how I want to do community and how I want to be a part of something, even in this online stage. So I see your face every single day.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that funny?
I'll
send you a picture. Send you a picture sometime.
I would love that picture. Yeah. You know, I don't have a vision board, but you're in my mind's eye because you are someone who can I tell the story?
Sure. Okay? Sure.
It's a very quick story. So the way that Sherry stood out to me, everyone who's listening, I was in something that mattered to my soul, training event, and it was my wedding anniversary. And I had had a conversation with my husband that this is really important to me, as are you. Right. We can have dinner together, but instead of taking the day off, which we normally do together, I said, I really want to be in this. It feeds my spirit. It's good for our business. We own a business together. And here come these flowers in the middle of it. And we were on a break and the flowers got handed and the camera happened to be on and you saw them. You said, wait, let's take a picture. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we don't even like know each other, but you could tell that moment was special. Mm-hmm. And then here comes through messaging a picture from Sherry of me, my husband and my flowers with him supporting my dreams. Mm-hmm. Right. And then honoring our day. And so you're with me always just in that moment to have someone to witness a moment that was so special and to create a way for me to capture that memory. Aww. So I'm just very grateful that, you know, that happened.
I love that story on, you know, that is a significant for me as well to see, because, you know, my work is about living on purpose. And I could just feel from you, Lisa, which is why we're having this conversation mm-hmm. today, that your relationship was important to you. Your willingness and need to be with this community we were a part of was important, which is exactly what I sensed about you was an intentionality. Mm-hmm. Also a comment you've made about your daughter. And so let's get into that. I want to know more. Yeah. And I'm going to go ahead and say, I've had some guests on here who I know really well. Lisa, I don't know a lot of the stuff that you're about to tell me. So I'm excited to know. So I am going on a hunch and you're getting ready to confirm what I already know is about how you've Ooh. Been living your life intentionally. And so when I say living on purpose, tell me how that lines up with you. Just talk. Mm. Tell me about your story.
I will say this. Let's see. I'm just trying to compartmentalize and like process and integrate really mm-hmm, quick. Sure. So intentionality, I think, is a great mm-hmm. word to start with. So living on purpose for me, as I define it, is being clear on how I want to feel and then taking steps to feel that as much as I can. Mm. And that's pretty much the opposite of how I live most of my life up until about 10 years ago. Quite honestly.
Say more about that.
Before that, mm-hmm. yeah, before that it was set a goal, achieve the goal, check it off the list, move on. Goal, 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 goal. I never really gave thought to the feelings that were underneath the goals. I just was like, get the promotion, buy the house, you know, find the love of your life, have a baby, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And listen, all that sounds like not exciting. It was all exciting, right? And along the way, I definitely felt like I was losing myself. Mm. You know, I remember when my husband and I, we were friends for 6 years. We dated for 3 and we'd be married for almost 16. And I'll never forget. I was like, we're not living together until we're engaged. I'm old school, you know, blah, blah, blah. I was 37 when I got married. And so we finally got engaged. We moved in together. And I remember driving to Walgreens every day before going home. Because as excited as I was to be with this man who I've known for so long and I was so in love with and am, I still am, mm-hmm. I didn't have any personal space anymore. Oh. And I would go to Walgreens and I would walk up down the card aisle and just see what cards spoke to me. Sometimes I'd buy a book. Sometimes, you know, I'd look at the snack aisle, depend on my mood. Yeah. But that Walgreens moment was my transition to get fully present to be with him.
I love that. Okay.
And to like take care of myself. So that's like my first recollection of life on purpose mm-hmm. when something so amazing I set a goal for that I wanted, but I also didn't want to lose myself. So I'm saying all that in the summary of what it means to me is that when you set goals without clarity on how you want to feel, and then you hit the goal, usually you're dissatisfied because it doesn't always feel the way you thought it was going to feel, but you don't really know that.
Oh my God.
So
I'm about to pee my pants. Let me just tell you.
Oh, I'm with you, sister.
Because first of all, you said, I wanted to know how I want to feel. Well, I have to tell you, almost 100% of the time with my clients, they come in with these hard goals they want and I have to back them up a notch and go, I get mm-hmm. what you want. But let's go to the mm-hmm. feeling first.
Exactly.
You know, which is sort yeah. of counterintuitive, or it's at least counter to the way we're raised. We go straight to the concrete, measurable, smart goals, you know, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, yep. and I just wrote here on my own notes for something else I'm doing. You've got to know who you are before you could know what you want. Because if you don't, you'll end up getting what you want, but you won't be happy.
Exactly.
Right. And so, and because yes. you figured that out, you had to feel, I mean, what do you want to feel? Mm-hmm. And then you kind of fessed up that you had to figure out how to do it differently. Tell me more exactly. about this transition. Cause I think you're spot on here.
Oh, there's so much to this that what I know to be true for myself mm-hmm. and listen, I bring this into the work I do as well. Right. So what I know to be true is that if you're not clear on how you want to feel, you're making uninformed choices. Like it's like all about external requirements or expectations or whatever. And what I can tell you is that when I transitioned from being single and working mm-hmm. to being engaged and working, mm-hmm. to being married and working, to becoming a mom and working, mm-hmm. Because I love what I do, I had to reinvent each step of the way. And the only way I really got clear on that was to keep asking myself, how do I want to feel? Mm. Now, I'm going to tell you, Sherry, I am not an expert at this. Mm-hmm. This is a life journey and you can do it at any time, right? So by no means am I sitting here being, I've got it all right. figured out. But when I feel triggered and when I burnt out, which I did, I've actually flamed out and had to come back. The way I came back was, how do I want to feel? And it's something that for me, I didn't learn growing up. It wasn't something talked about in our houses. My daughter will laugh. Okay, mom, I know the first question, how do I want to feel today at school? Right. Which it's like everyone blows me off. But I also know it sinks in because people will be like, oh, I know how I don't want to feel.
Right.
And that's a start too.
It's a great start.
Right. Yeah. If like, oh, you know how I want to feel when I get home. I want to feel connected and present with my husband. Mm-hmm. And guess what? I don't even feel connected and present with myself yet. I'm going to Walgreens.
Right.
Right. So even, or go to the park. I don't go. Not everybody goes to right. Walgreens. This is not an advertisement for Walgreens. It just happened to be on the way home and I love cards.
Right. So,
and cards to me are like divine messages. And I would pause and go, which ones? Oh, look at that. There's a funny card, a serious card. And it would just help me like tap back into something that I didn't know how to tap into all the time.
Oh gosh. Yeah. That is so that there's so much right there that I want to just reiterate here that some part of your wisdom, some part of you knew.
Yes.
On some level, when you pulled into Walgreens, that you were needing something, right? And you could have either plowed on through and driven on home and ignored that nudge, but you followed the nudge, even if you couldn't really name it, right?
Yeah, most of the time couldn't name it. Just was like, meh. Yeah, the car just made its way to Walgreens. Yeah,
and
you
so,
know? Yeah.
So that first of all is that there's this part of us that often knows how to take care of ourselves if we'll listen, right?
Yes. Hello. Welcome there. To the inner you know, wisdom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And because there was something you needed. And then now, do you still go to Walgreens?
You know, Walgreens is a once in a while.
Right.
It's not, I mean, it used to be daily.
But you don't need it as much anymore.
I don't need it as much because I've learned, right? And I've also found language around it in my relationships.
Beautiful.
And I also am very clear on my core values now. Mm-hmm. So to know that, you know, I want to be fully present with my family and I want to be fully present at work. There is a transition needed.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's more complicated now, right? With everybody working from home and sharing space. There's still a little ritual every day when I leave, you know, we call it popsicle time. So when the transition for my daughter home from school, I don't know how, I can't really tell you how it started. It's just, mom, you're working too much. I want to be with you, blah, blah, blah. And I realized, okay, we need that transition time. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, let's grab a popsicle and go outside. And that was just my way. That was my new Walgreens, I guess, to like have the transition and connect. And it's still to this day, if we don't have popsicle time, she is mad and I feel bad. Like it matters. And so I've made an agreement with my clients. I've made an agreement with my family. Like popsicle time is sacred and that's what matters. And so I guess Walgreens turned into popsicle time, if I'm honest.
Oh my gosh, Lisa, I love this. So you're so wise. I'm just like so excited for the people who are listening to this, because what you've just given us, Lisa, is you've broken this down into something that can be big and scary and even place where we have judgmental about ourselves. Oh, what I mean, I love my family, but I want to go home, or we don't honor ourselves, or I'm really burnt out. And then you snap. You've given us an example of some small, and I don't mean small, but small in time, little ritual that honors yourself, your family, your daughter. And it, I mean, we're talking 15 minutes, right?
Yeah, sometimes an hour.
Okay, well, good. Because you've enjoyed yourself.
It can be an hour.
Whatever. But
I blocked the hour and then, you know, I blocked the hour.
I love that. That idea, I can only imagine from the perspective of your daughter that she would begin to go, okay, I know it's just 30 more minutes. And then I've got mom, and she's able to sit in that and wait and patience because she knows it's coming. It's something she can depend on, you know? And I love that you said that you've trained your clients. You've made it your condition of satisfaction. I will show up for popsicle time. So, I love, though, you alluded to, and I want to go back to it. You didn't always do this. You were talking about some burnout and some triggers and those kind of things. Can we talk about that?
Should we go there, Sherry? We just had this beautiful little thing where everything sounds great in Lisa's world.
I know.
But like, let's just peel that back.
We're
going
to roll it back because we know.
Listen,
in the service,
I believe in transparency.
In the service of those who are listening.
Absolutely. It's not only in the service of those listening, it's a great reminder for me okay. too. So I'm going to call it a combo, right? Yeah. Because what I know is we all are on the verge of burnout. We are, you know, it's just a matter of time and choices. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'll just tell you my story. Okay. Let me just like expose myself completely. Okay.
To the extent you feel comfortable. That would be great.
Oh no, I'm going. Okay, go. Here's the thing for anyone listening. Cause I hope you can find yourself at somewhere on this path and give yourself the grace mm-hmm. to not go where I did. Right. So, okay. yeah. So it's midnight. I'm in the emergency room at the local hospital with my laptop and my colleague. And I'm waiting for the doctor to come back in to tell me if I'm having a heart attack. Mm. I'm literally in the hospital bed.
On the computer.
On the computer, because there's a presentation the next day. And this presentation is to be done by me because I'm the senior executive on the team. It's going to the executive staff, you know, protocol and process and, you know, also ego. Okay. And badge of honor. I will get it done no matter what. Yeah. And my 2-year-old daughter is home asleep. And my husband, you know, picks up the phone. And I'm calling going, I still don't know the answer. But at 7 o'clock when I called him, I was like, I'm going to the emergency room. Just a quick stop on the way home.
Quick stop at the emergency room, by the way.
Quick stop just to check it out, babe. And he was like, what? So he knew my colleague was with me. And, you know, and we also had a 2-year-old at home who didn't want to freak her out. But, you know, he's sitting at home worried. Is my wife dying? Am I going to be an only, you know, single parent? What the hell? Mm-hmm. And I'm working on a PowerPoint. And I can tell you he's pretty pissed. Mm-hmm. And he's pissed at the company. Mm-hmm. And he's pissed at me, but he doesn't even want to own that he's pissed at me mm-hmm. because he's worried about me. But I know he's pissed at me.
Sure.
Right.
Yep.
Not like you went to the emergency room, but how did you let yourself get here, Lisa? So anyway, no heart attack. Yay. Right. However, allergic reaction to antibiotics that cause muscles to tear, tendons to tear. And they didn't figure that out, by the way. They just discharged me and said, it's not a heart attack. We don't know. See your PCP. And I'm like, well, that's useful. Right. Right? Like, because I had this radiating pain up. You know, it was bad. I took a picture and I sent it to my boss around midnight. And I said, hey, it's been a long night. I'll be there in the morning. You can count on me. But the reason you're not on the slides is I'm still working on them at El Camino, right? The hospital. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, now, I'm so embarrassed to say this, by the way, because it's like anybody listening to this is going to be like, are you freaking crazy? Right. However, badge of honor showed up the next day, did the presentation, right. And they later learned what happened.
Yeah.
My husband said to me, okay, Lisa, I know you love your job and I know you love your family and something's got to give there, toots. This is my grandmother on channel.
I love it.
He doesn't say toots. My grandmother says toots, not my husband. Mm-hmm. So I go to the doctor for the follow-up and he says to me, and I'm crying and I'm embarrassed, you know, and I'm like, something's not right. And the doctor says, Lisa, you have Silicon Valley-itis. You are not broken. There is nothing wrong with you. Like you are in a system that perpetuates and rewards, and I'll use my words, pictures of yourself in a gurney in an emergency room finishing a PowerPoint, right?
Right.
Like you are part of a system. And I see more people each week because of this, which, you know, burnout, he called Silicon Valley-itis,
sure,
than anything else. And you need to take control of your life back.
Yeah. Gosh.
And I just kind of just looked at him and thought, no, it's gotta be something else. Yeah. Like, it's not burnout. I don't have time for burnout. I have no time for burnout.
I don't have, can, so is there I not thought, a pill you can't just give me? And
can I tell you, I looked for that pill. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then that's how I got the allergic reaction, because honestly, I had bronchitis for 3 weeks and I was sick of coughing. So my other doctor, you know, one of those phone call visits was like, well, try this antibiotic because that one's not working. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, let me see. Something happened in my video here. Okay. So my bottom line in all this, it's a long story. I hope it's helpful to people, is I lost track of how I wanted to feel. Mm-hmm. Right. I lost track of what mattered most. I thought that the only way to define success was powering through no matter what, mm-hmm. not asking for help. Right. And it was brutal.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
You know, I have such gratitude for this story. I can relate to it in some ways.
Yeah.
I had my own little hospital visit, my own little, and the word that comes up for me is martyr. Maybe yours was badge of honor. Mine had more of a martyr flair to it. You know, it's like, oh,
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I'm so busy. No one else could possibly do this.
Yeah. I'm the only one. And, but I, Toots, somebody got your attention. Toots, sounds like your husband did.
My husband and my doctor did an intervention.
Yeah.
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 So truth be told, the funniest thing about this piece, Sherry, and I think I want to share it so that people know they're not alone. Mm-hmm. I took a medical leave. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't take it right away. I had a project to get done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course you did.
It wasn't like, you're going out right now, Toots. Right. I was like, oh no, I need 3 weeks. I got a project. Anyway, took the medical leave and then snuck my phone and kept working. Okay. Mm. So boss knows I'm on a medical leave. Team knows I'm on a medical leave, but you know, how important am I that I might possibly have to check emails all day? So my husband called the doctor and said, she's not following the rules. We need a conversation. Mm-hmm. So that was about a week. I went back in and he sat me down and he said, okay, you're not taking this seriously. Mm-hmm. Here's the deal. I'm not going to do this unless you're willing to do this, but it means you get off your damn phone.
Yeah.
You go sleep. You know, you do you.
Yeah.
So my husband took my phone and hid it from me, went and got me a personal phone and said, here you go. And I was like, massive withdrawal,
sure.
Judgment, shame, depression, anxiety, lost tears. And then once I just kind of let all that really bubble up and how I wanted to feel, I was like, how do I want to feel? Safe and supported.
Oh.
And I'm like, if I don't feel safe and supported right now, what is there? I have no work requirements. My husband's got my back. My kid, I can see my kid more. And I honestly, Sherry, I think I've hibernated like a bear would. I slept so much. And then I slowly came out of my cocoon and I sought mental health support. I got a nutritionist to get better at my navigating the ups and downs of weight that I experience.
Yeah.
And I read and I went to the beach and I prayed and I journaled and I found the book, The Desire Map, which is how I learned How Do You Want to Feel?
Daniel Laporte's Desire Map.
Daniel Laporte.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
that was it.
So what I am curious about, and I'll circle back around, but what I just want to reflect what I've heard, you were, can I use this word, almost in a place of addiction? Is that okay?
I was a total work
addict.
Total
work
addict.
Okay, good. I don't like to use that word, but you had.
Oh, God bless you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello, you had me at, you know, work addiction.
Okay,
yes.
You were addiction. And so, but you had to come off that. You had to hit rock bottom. And again, I'm not an addiction specialist, but that's the language that I'm hearing.
Yeah.
And fortunately, it was a safe, secure one because you had a loving husband. You know what I mean? It, you know, and a doctor who finally threw the bullshit flag on the play for you.
Oh, big time raised the flag. Yes.
And then it sounds like you really, and I love that, that when that was taken away, you ask yourself, how do I want to feel? Mm-hmm. And I love, and see if I heard this right. You said, I want to feel safe and supported. And if I don't feel safe and supported right here without my work, this, this is where that feeling has got to come from. Right. Oh my God, that's so beautiful. And then I just could see it as almost like this movie scene. And then Lisa starts to wake up and she's on the ocean and she's reading a book.
Butterflies.
La, 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 la. I mean, but
I wish it was that pretty.
Yeah. I'm sure it was fits and starts, but it does sound like that you started to craft a different way to live.
Yeah. I mean, to use your phrase, your tagline of what you do, I started to design my life on purpose.
Yeah. Sounds like
I did.
Yeah. And so the power of that, I mean, that means making a different choice that may be easier now, but my guess is as you were transitioning from the workaholic to the non-workaholic, you had to be incredibly intentional, right? On how you managed your work. My guess is you wasn't seamless. I don't know. Tell me.
Sherry. Yeah. I thought about quitting. I was just like, I'm not going back. They're all going to think I'm a nut job.
Oh.
I'm on a stress leave. You know, why, how can I can't face these people. I let them down. And over time I realized if I don't go back, I will never have the learning that I know is on the other side of that door.
Oh, say that again. If I don't go back, I'll never have the learning.
Yeah, I'll never have the learning.
Yeah.
It's on the other side. Right. Mm-hmm. So I thought to myself, I'm not a, you know, workaholic expert either. I just have my own experience. Mm-hmm. But I knew enough to know that the learning is going to be in how I make my choices going forward, that running away. I mean, I had a supportive boss. I had an amazing team. I mean, I was at the same company for 21 years. Mm-hmm. I knew enough to put my ego aside. And I knew that one of the things I needed to figure out was how to ask for help and advocate for myself and make myself important. And, you know, self-care wasn't, you know, just massages.
Right.
And so I chose to go back and I, you know, massive doses of therapy in that 3 months, mm-hmm. Physical, mental health, all focus on wellness. And I'll never forget going back and being so nervous from people were like, how are you? Mm-hmm. Right. Like looking at you, like, how are you?
Yeah.
How are you, Lisa? And I want, you know, in my head, I'm like, how are you, you broken a-hole that left us all right. stranded? Right. And I was like, okay, they're probably not saying that, probably but you know, that's not, what I was hearing. Mm-hmm. So I went back and I sat my team down and I said, listen, I am so proud of this team and I'm so grateful for the grace you extended to me over that time. I'm here. I want to do a great job, but I also know you've been holding down this fort the entire time I was gone. So you tell me what's different. How have you changed? What do you need? What do you like? And then let me tell you how I've changed, but I'm curious about you first. Like I don't know if that was chicken or bold, but I wanted to know because they had stepped into my shoes and they pulled, you know, they had done all this and I didn't want it to be about me. I wanted it to be about us. Mm-hmm. So I did that. And then I shared with them, I need to move more. I sat too much, mm-hmm. right? I need to drink more water. And I would like to have breaks in between meetings. So I would like to rethink with you, how might we organize ourselves and structure our work days to where we can all, I'll use your words, be on purpose.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, Sherry, we started having walking one-on-ones. We had water challenges with timers. We made sure that we honored everybody's times, that we all stated when we're at our best and, you know, when we're, you know, feeling low. And I also found a wonderful app that had music on it. I think it's called Relax Melodies. Mm-hmm. And there's a flute. Mm-hmm. And it's like an Asian flute. It goes, yeah. It's like very Zen. Okay. And I said to my boss, hey, every time I walk into a meeting with you, I'm already anxious because I'm not grounded yet. I would like your permission to start with the flute. And I mean, my boss was like, what in the heck is going on here? But I would walk in and he said, sure, whatever you need. Right. I sat down, I'd start with the flute and he would instantly relax.
Right.
And he would be like, don't turn it off yet.
Yeah.
Just leave it 2 more minutes, Lisa. And so it became another ritual of being able to just own the fact that we are in an always on, never good enough, we'll replace you tomorrow environment. That is tech, by the way.
Right.
And how can we manage our anxiety to be present with each other, to get performance out of the conversation, you know, where we need to go. And so I'm forever grateful for that man.
Oh my gosh.
Who said, play the flute longer. My team would laugh at me and be like, here comes the flute lady. Right. We joke and I'll do, but I'm like, you know, and my family knew it too. So I did take steps and I stayed for over a year to really prove to myself that not be a victim.
Right.
Oh, they worked me to death. Oh, they never, you know, they just kept giving me more. When you're a high performer, you're going to get more work people.
Yeah. You are.
Right. The boundary is on you. They are never going to be like, oh no, you have too much.
Right.
Ever.
Exactly.
And I had to remember that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I
do want to talk about how you've taken this into your own business, but I want to come back to something mm-hmm. you said. You said that the doctor first told you that you have siliconitis, that the system mm-hmm. is broken. And I know this little bit about like family systems therapy. Like if the kid has wrecked the car from drunk driving, it's not just about the kid. It's about the whole system.
Absolutely.
Right? Yep. And so you were a symptom perhaps of the whole system. And mm-hmm. by you going to get help, by you stopping and going to get help. I mean, this is not hyperbole. You switched, you came back in and you healed your team. You made it okay to have energy that waxes and wanes. Duh, you're human. You made it okay to need to have a transition, to have breaks, to drink, to have water.
What a concept. What a concept. Actually hydrate.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I used to not drink because I didn't have time to go to the restroom. No joke.
I also love that you took responsibility because that it was really your choice. Because in my work around living on purpose, my number one my number one step in living on purpose is take 100% responsibility for everything in your life. And it's so easy to say they work me to death, the job, blah, blah, blah. But you just took responsibility, didn't you? You're like,
yeah,
I have to set my, you just said it, high achievers, you have to set your own boundaries. Right.
Yep.
And
yep.
So,
and check your ego, by the way,
check your ego,
yeah, set your boundaries and check your ego. Cause your ego is wants you to burn out. Yeah. Your ego is the fast track to burnout.
When the ego is behind the wheel, it's welcome on the bus, but it shouldn't be driving the bus.
Totally. Yeah.
So I want to hear, how now you've moved this into your own business and what you're doing with this on a even bigger, larger scale. Tell us.
Thank you for asking, because it's really it's an opportunity for me to just reflect back. Mm-hmm. So I will tell you, it was not easy to decide to leave the safety, especially as I was back in my groove and things were working. Mm-hmm. At the same time that was going on, when I went back, my mom was terminally ill. And a dear friend, mentor, someone who had been in my life for 20 years, who had helped me become the leader and woman that I am in business, passed away. So I had a compelling event that happened where I started really thinking about legacy. Talk about designing your life on purpose. Right. I'm like, yeah, okay. So how much am I impacting the world by being here? And is there a way to have a greater impact here or differently? So I just started, how might I, right? And whose shoulders am I standing on? And what obligation does my soul feel to expand? And not obligation in a negative way, but I guess a calling. What's the calling I want to answer? That's a better word.
Okay.
So yeah, I formed a business with my husband and we are on a mission to eradicate burnout in tech. And because I have my own experience and because I've been in tech my whole life, it's, you know, it's never far in any conversation, but I have a professional background as a human resources professional with, you know, experience across the different functions in tech because of the benefit I had of being inside an organization for so long. So we formed RLD Group, which stands for Rebooting Leadership Drive. And we are on a mission to eradicate burnout in tech by equipping leaders to show up with boundaries and also remember the human in all of us as they lead. And so we provide coaching and consulting services to help shift that always on, never good enough, where we place you tomorrow, kind of scarcity, fear, constriction, constrictive energy to the collective wisdom that can be, you know, awakened in each of us to be our best selves at work and at home, because those two matter and they intersect. And I think human at work is important.
Absolutely. How has that been received?
You know what, Sherry? I think because I have my own experience with it, we've been very blessed because our business is honestly through word of mouth and referral. We are really, really busy. We actually have 6 coaches now on our organization because there is such a demand for it. And we are working through, as you and I already know, the lens of strengths, appreciative inquiry, and then dealing with the shame and self-doubt that we all experience, right? So conscious leadership. So those three combined, it's been very well received. I don't always call it that when I'm having conversations. It might be like stressed out, maxed out. I can help you. Right. Or, you know, want a high performing team and you're burning out. I'm your gal. You know, we can help you. That kind of
thing. You don't say the 7 spiritual principles to find.
Exactly. Now I did. I will tell you this though, if I can celebrate with you, one thing that was really great. I ran a session with the CEO of a major tech corporation. I think it was 2 weeks now. And I had never worked with them before. And I, you know, I am myself. I show up as me. And in the conversation, we were talking about appreciation and gratitude when it comes to strengths. We're going around the table talking about this strength really helps the team because, and here's what I appreciate. And one of the staff members said, you know, what are we really talking about here? Like, what's the secret sauce to this? And I paused and I thought to myself, okay, Lisa, here we go. I said, I think it, I'm going to tell you my answer and you may not like it, but I said, it's love. And I said, this isn't about love, romantic love at work. I'm talking about love of yourself, your values and who you are, and love of your fellow teammates and their humanity. I'm not saying you have to love everything about them.
Right.
But when you come from appreciation and gratitude, it is an expression of love. So I'm not going to tell you it's not. And then someone else said, I think it's about, what did they say? Not compassion. I think it was compassion. They said, I like the word compassion better. I said, pick your word. Yeah. I'm not here to define it for you. Mm-hmm. But what we're talking about is like life generating, life giving connection.
Yes.
So that you can be as a team stronger, smarter, better, faster than you were when you're in silos and in your own and closed down.
Exactly. And so actually what folks want is to feel like they are productive and contributing. But the way we've been pushing and pushing and pushing and cajoling and shaming, whether it's self-shame or the culture,
oh yeah,
has not given us the results. It's ironic when we can actually sit in a real state of self-love and be connected with the people we're working with, we still produce at a really high level. We still, yeah, I mean, you do. Know, it's not either or. You don't just sit around and kumbaya it. You get shit done, right?
Well, I'll tell you what I know statistically. The last report I read was burnout is causing a $1 trillion lack of productivity expense across the mm-hmm. U.S. So you can't tell me you're high performing and getting the best out of your people when we know the stats on burnout these days.
Absolutely.
It is rampant. And then you have the productivity loss, right? Then you have shame and self-doubt and I'm going to get fired and lose my job and I'm going to work on my PowerPoint and send my mm-hmm. picture in, right? Then you have the medical costs associated yeah. with all those doctor visits, just like me, that the company and the employees are sharing together.
Yep.
It's catastrophic. It has to change.
It does. It does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
so imagine designing your day on purpose.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to out my husband, but just like 3 weeks ago, we were in the ER and he had a heart attack.
Shut up.
Stress. And we have been rearranging our life in the last 3 weeks. And his level of stress was what he looks, and he's going to be mad at me. No, he won't be mad at me, but he sort of looks the same. You know, he doesn't have any external signs of stress. But when we were really honest, when he would say, you know, I was 24/7 worried about the calls that I couldn't return. And it was after COVID and the world's coming back, blah, 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 blah. Spin. And then we're in the ER. And they say heart attack, and I about, you know what, right there in the...
Yeah, of course.
So we've been reworking, and how do we live intentionally? And I'll tell you, some of the things you said, we are actively doing again in my home of ritual, reconnecting to what's important, right-sizing request. There is never... There's a difference between something being important or an emergency.
Totally.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, how do we weight things properly? And I think the closer you get to burnout or, you know, you begin to mislabel things and you forget yourself. And when you've forgotten that. So I am so grateful. I'm just trusting that the people who are listening to this, they're either personally identifying, they're connected, and take from your story, Lisa, that it doesn't necessarily have to get to the point where you're in the ER. Mm-hmm. Right. To pay attention.
That's my hope too.
Yeah. If you had to, now that you are an expert on burnout, what might be some signs that folks might begin to see that are earlier than, I mean, what can folks look for, for them
I can tell you.
To say, I need to pay attention.
Yeah. It's like, I want to pull out my Jeff Foxworthy. You might be burning out. Right.
You could be burning.
And I want to go there, and I hope it's okay with you. I just want to circle back for a second because what you just shared mm-hmm. is super important, and I don't want to skip on that for a second.
Oh,
first, I want to say I'm so glad you guys that you and your husband and your family have the opportunity to reset and reimagine mm-hmm. and to know that you're in a place where you both can do that as a couple.
Yep.
I dread to think about what this conversation could have been. Other way.
It's right. There. Right.
I'm just want to witness and I want to put some energy around that because that share you just gave, that's mm-hmm. huge.
Yeah.
You know, and I just really hope that if someone shares something, anyone listening, if you hear a message like that, please make sure to just like,
thank you, Lisa.
Honor that.
Yeah.
Right. We're in as a society. We kind of, oh, that was uncomfortable. Let's go over here. You might be burning. I'm like, wait, I can't go back there.
I will tell you, I didn't mean to skip over it so quickly. And it's actually a real sign that Mark and I we feel so much gratitude for that little heart attack he had. Mm-hmm. That's a genuine, that's where we genuinely are, that it's not as loaded as it would have been 3 weeks ago.
Okay. That's fab.
We've used it.
Great.
So I didn't mean to drop a bomb and then move on to the next thing.
Yeah, I was just processing it all. And I'm like, you know, I always tell my leaders, when people share hard stuff, sit still for a minute. So I was like, wait a minute, you know, Lisa, work with the clients. So
good, good teachable moment there. Wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah. And then the, you know, the question is, do you feel complete? You're like, yeah, move on, right?
I'm fine, yeah. Lisa. I'm fine.
Yeah, exactly. Move on. Okay. So you might be burning out if, right? Mm-hmm. The first thing is I invite you to look at your sleep patterns. Mm. It will tell you very quickly if you're on the path to burnout, right? If you are not sleeping and you are not waking up rested, massive red flag. And I know we all go, I'll sleep when I'm dead and I have a kid. How can I possibly sleep? Blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. I get it. Been there. I can tell you all of them. And I'm not suggesting that you're wrong. I'm just saying to you, prioritize your sleep.
Gotcha.
Because what I know for sure, what I've learned, is how regenerative sleep is to our cells and to our mind and our ability to, and our clarity to make decisions and to be intentional. So sleep, definitely pay attention there.
Got it.
The second thing I would say is, if you're feeling extra snarky and like everything's bigger than it used to be, and people are like, oh, you're kind of not acting like yourself. Like I got really snarky. I thought I was very jaded. I was like, everything's broken. This all sucks, blah, blah, blah. Right. And it's like, wait a minute. It's not all like in this moment, I'm feeling irritated is way different than everything's broken.
Gotcha.
So like, check your snark factor. That's another
your
one.
Your SF, right? Check in on that.
Your snark factor.
Okay.
I would say the third one is, and this is also gets confused with depression, right? The things you used to like, you don't like doing, like they're not bringing you the joy. And you know, that could be depression. It could be burnout, but I would pay attention to it to just be curious. So you can catch yourself and go, when's the last time I laughed? Or when's the last time I called a friend? Or when's the last time my husband and I had lunch together? Like, I'm making these up for you, but to pay attention to the stuff that used to matter, if you're not prioritizing it. Forgetfulness is also another one. You just get foggy brained and you can't remember what you said you were going to do.
Yeah.
And you know, there's another one too that comes up. Sometimes you get bored and people don't really understand that that can be burnout a lot of times, but you get bored. You're just like, nothing's challenging.
Like a
and
lethargy just, kind of bored.
Lethargy kind of bored. Yeah. And just like, it's almost like apathy. Like you don't care, but it really is boredom. And it has to do with like repetitive. Everything's the same. And I'm seeing that a lot since, you know, the land of COVID that has you know, swarmed our world. Same thing every day. Everything, you know, constrained. So you kind of go, oh, wait a minute. I'm just existing instead of thriving. And so I'm not saying that that's burnout, but you can burn out from that.
Yeah.
It has a tremendous toll on your mental and physical health.
These are so good. And I can tell you, even though my husband's the one that ended up in the ER, I have to admit that I was also feeling some of these very same feelings. I just didn't show up in my heart. Yeah. It showed up in another way. The snarky, the apathy, or the boredom. So I hope folks listen. This your sleep is patterns are off, extra snarky, can't find joy, nothing. The things that used to bring you joy don't anymore.
Yep.
Forgetfulness, yep. And a boredom. Those are some really good things to look for. And I love that you're, you know, they could be depression, could be burnout, but it is worth taking a look at. This needs.
Yeah.
And then going back to something you had to do, which was hard for you, you said, which is be to get some help, either whether it was to help you with work or to go and say, I need help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Golly. And you know, help can be many, many ways, right? So one of the things I can tell you is my story is beautiful in that I had a spouse who was like really paying attention.
Right.
But there's plenty of people that don't have spouses that you can still get help. You know, whether it's a friend, a colleague, you know, my colleague that went to the hospital was very clear, like, you're on the verge of burnout. Like, she just couldn't get me to stop. She was just like, well, I guess I'm on for the ride. Like, I'm not leaving you alone. Like, we don't leave our people alone. So there's different ways to get help. There's EAP, you know, the employee assistance programs at work. There's, you know, there's hotlines. There's all kinds of ways to do it. But the thing is, when you're burnt out, you're like, this feels really hard. So you might need to ask somebody to hold your hand or make a call and, or just be there with you and hold space while you do it. I've done that for people, right?
Yeah.
Just sit with them.
When you're feeling low, whatever low is, it's really hard to go do the very thing, even if you know it. But if you could eke that out just to ask one person to help you. I love this.
Yeah.
So Lisa, as we're wrapping up, I have a couple of questions for you. Yeah, first of all, there anything that you wanted to share that I haven't, that we haven't talked about? Is there anything else you want to tell, share, that I haven't asked you?
I will add this, cause it's something I feel so strongly about. It's the power of music. Mm. And so like I have a podcast, you know, it's called mm-hmm. Control Alt Delete. It's burning out, you know, how to reboot from yeah. burnout and reboot and work. Right. And we have a podcast playlist. And the reason I'm bringing this up is I ask every person, what's a song, and watch what happens with you, Sherry. What's your go-to song that lifts your spirits when you're down?
Journey.
Mm-hmm.
Don't Stop Believing. If I'm feeling, if I want to feel like I'm a beautiful person, I listen to NDRE, I Am Light.
That's mine.
Ah,
that's mine. I Am Light. Goosebumps.
I am light. Oh, I even had it engraved on my ring. Shut
Get
up.
Out.
I know.
Have you met? I met her one time. Have you
Shut
met
up.
Her
okay.
Oh yeah. We got things to talk about. Okay.
Yeah.
So watch what just happened. Do you see how your energy just shifted?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I want to talk about just real quick for people. So, you know, we're like, you need to get help and everything's low and tired. And it hurt. Oh, by the way, body aches and pains that are undiagnosed and don't make sense. Burnout,
also on
right?
the list.
Okay.
Right.
So, but the music, the thing I want to say about music that I just found so much gift in was, boy, when I put on that song, I Am Light, Don't Stop Believing. Mine is Chaka Khan. Mm-hmm. Anything Chaka, I'm like, listen, it's a whole thing. It changes something for me. And so mm-hmm. I just want to make sure I land that for people, because it was really helpful to me to just lift my energy, even by 1% sometimes, to be, okay, yeah. I can do this. Right. So yes. Thank you for asking
that
me.
That is so great. And I remember years ago, I invited people in a workshop I was doing to find their theme song. If you don't, I mean,
Love
be
it.
Able to answer that question.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
So that's your homework, listeners. Find
that's
your song.
Right.
If you don't
theme
already
song.
Have it, if you do have it, go listen to it. Awesome. Tell me one thing that keeps you really centered. Tell me, give us an idea. And you've mentioned popsicle time. Is there anything mm-hmm. else that you do that's really helpful?
Yeah. Yeah. At dinner time, and my family teases me, but when I don't do this, they ask, well, why didn't we do that? Gratitude.
Mm.
What are you grateful for? I mean, the simplest things, like we give thanks. I give thanks for this food and for the people that are with me right now is what I always say. Right.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm trying to center at the dinner, whoever's with us.
Sure.
And then I say, and I'm grateful for blah.
Yeah.
It is so grounding and mm-hmm. getting us present in the moment and remembering. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's really hard. I might be like, what am I grateful for? And then they'll give me some. Mom, what about this? What about her? Honey? What about? So there's a community gratitude, you know, support mechanism.
Beautiful.
It's really great.
Beautiful. Yeah. We have that in common as well, but we do it right before we go to sleep. I love that.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Okay. So last question. If given a choice, is it dark chocolate or milk chocolate?
Oh, dude, you're killing me.
I know.
Milk chocolate.
Milk chocolate. Okay. We'll still be friends, but it'll be iffy.
It's only milk chocolate because I went to like Snickers and like Heath bars. Right. But
yes.
like dark chocolate with a little bit of almonds in it.
Seriously?
And some sea salt. Like
sea salt?
This is why I reacted. Yeah.
Lots of choices. So we've got the chocolate going on here. Lisa, the list, the notes I've taken, I feel in my heart that the folks who are listening to this have been changed, have been moved, have been inspired. Mm. Perhaps some folks have really resonated. And for those, I'm feeling the most blessed that you have shared your story, because through your, you know, this phrase in the speaking world, from your message, from your mess comes
your
message.
Your message. Exactly.
Yeah. And yeah. So thank you so much for sharing so openly your mess. And so that you converted it into such a powerful message. And I love you, sister. Thank you.
Oh, Sherry, thank you for having me and for creating such a safe space to just go there. I love you too. I love you from the minute you snapped that pic. I was like,
Same
she
here.
Is good people.
I saw right? you in that square. There it was.
Right, the square.
Right.
Yeah, and I really appreciate the listeners listening too, because what I know for sure is this will help somebody.
It will.
But your story of what you just went through with your husband, my story, we're all more alike than we are not. And I'm grateful for
Absolutely.
This platform and this time with you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Design Your Life on Purpose podcast. And I sure hope that you're taking away something that you can begin to use today. Speaking of things you can use, I have lots of free things over at sherryhoneycutt.com. And the one I want to highlight in today's podcast is something I call Work Your Butt Off. And I spell it B-U-T. Let's get those butts worked off. And it is a 30-day program to help you get your butts off the couch. It's 30 videos. It's a 75-page workbook, I think. And it's free to help you begin to take deliberate action toward getting that thing or those things done. So that's what I've got for you. I would love to invite you over to sherryhoneycutt.com. Click under cool stuff and you'll find that. You'll also find the link in the show notes and in the description of this podcast. Y'all, I'm here to help you take action because action is how we begin to get new thoughts around our life. So go check it out. Get your free copy of this course that I've designed and go and design your best life. Until next time.